Today, I want to talk to you about rest. We're going to do a two-part series from me. We're going to take a break in between. I call it forgotten disciplines because rest is something that we are called to do. A discipline just means I'm going to commit to being like Jesus because Jesus rested. And my Bible doesn't want to stay still. But when we rest, something amazing happens. So as always, I want to give you my sermon in a sentence, just in case you have super bad ADHD, or your mind is already wandering, or you're like, I came in with too many things, and I don't know what's going on, and I just want you to hear what God has to say. So here's my whole sermon in one sentence. Are we ready? Are we awake? Are we here?
Yep.
Mostly. Rest comes when we trust and enjoy Jesus, our provider.
Yeah.
Rest comes when we trust and enjoy Jesus, our provider. Let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you that you do things that we can't do. We thank you that we can enjoy you, that we can trust in you because you provide for us. And you've already done so, and you continue to do so. Would you just teach us today? Would you speak to us? Would you speak through me and reveal what you want to say? These are timeless truths, and these are simple truths, but they are so hard to apply. So help us, Holy Spirit, help us to hear from you, and then help us to obey you, respond with obedience, whatever that looks like. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Why don't you turn to Exodus, Old Testament, Exodus chapter 16. We're going to go through this, kind of. I'm going to highlight a couple different things for you, but mostly I want you to read this story while we're going through it together. It's important, yes, that you hear what I'm saying, but it's way more important that you hear what God is saying. And God will always speak through this word, and sometimes as my words come out, the messenger just doesn't work the same. So read your Bible, open it up, Exodus chapter 16. The other disclaimer that I want to put on this has come out of my life. This is a lesson, a teaching that I am currently applying. So don't think I stand up here and say, oh, I'm the master, I've got it figured out already. I'm still learning to rest. So with all that said, we live in a culture that is so hustly, that is so grindy, that is so for work. And let's get this out of the way. Work is good. Work is biblical. We need to work. We need to provide for our families. We need to do things to actually earn what we receive. So work is good. God created us, yes, to work. But man, we take it to the degree which it was never supposed to be. How many of you here have ever heard this phrase, oh, how's it going? And you say, oh yeah, I'm busy. Or, oh, I'm tired. Yeah, lots going on. I say that almost every time. Oh yeah, lots going on, busy season. Maybe next season will be a little bit less. No, it's always busy. We're always so busy. I call it the grind. I've had so many people say to me, oh, you should take a break. Slow down, rest for a minute. And I go, I know. Are you guys there too sometimes? Are you guys also overworking? Are we all in the same problem? I feel that we are, because that's our culture. And that's not every culture, but in North America, you are praised when you overwork. You are praised when you put in 70, 80 hours a week. That's the culture that we live in. But let me say this to you. Rest is a command, not a reward. We are commanded to rest. There's this thing called the Sabbath. The Sabbath, to break it down, because I can't go into totally and completely what the Sabbath means, this is a further conversation, but Sabbath is taking a break from your works and dedicating time to God. It's usually been a day in the Old Testament. He commands it in the Ten Commandments. He says this, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. So, very simply, if you are not taking a Sabbath, you're living in sin. It's a command. It's not an option. The punishment in the Old Testament was death. This is serious. God is very serious about taking a break, taking a rest. So serious that it echoes all the way back to Genesis, Genesis 2, where he rested from his works. And we think we can do more than God. It is a command, not a reward. And maybe you're sitting there and going, well, that was the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Hebrews 4 says this, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. This wasn't the first institution in the Ten Commandments. And like I said, yes, it echoes all the way to Genesis 2, but it's in Exodus 16 that this is the first institution, the first mention other than when God rested, where God says, take a break. Take a Sabbath rest. That's Exodus 16. Are we there? Are we reading? Do we have our Bibles open? Because there'll be stuff on the screen. I got you. But I want you to read this for yourself. So this is Israel. This is a people group that were called out by God, chosen. They were enslaved by Egypt. Then God miraculously pulls them out of slavery. He liberates them, frees them, sends them into the wilderness through the Red Sea. And he's calling them to meet with him. He's calling them to establish them. He's calling them to be different. And this is a section where they receive the law, where God gives them rules or instructions for how they are supposed to live and be set apart. But they were grumpy and they complain, as we all do. And so what they're complaining about is they're hungry because they're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. And they want to go back to what is comfortable. They want food. They want meat specifically. And God says, I've heard your complaints and I will meet your needs. I will send quail and I will send manna. And he says all this to Moses. And then what happens is the next morning, there was this flaky substance. This is what Exodus 16, 14 says. When the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. So think about that in the moment. This is what they called manna. And it was thin, frost-like, flaky, and it tasted really sweet. It was small. Says one place that it was white like coriander seeds. So it's like this really fine substance. And they were called to go and gather it. And so they do, and they had just enough. Here's what I want to suggest to you, that it would have been really tricky to gather all this. Almost think meticulous. Because if it's these fine little things, they had to gather it and pick it up off the ground. There was this moving from inactivity to activity while they were gathering their provision. And they had just enough for today. It spoiled, became rotten if you kept it and tried to hoard it, if you relied on your own self to provide. So here's what I believe this first part of this passage is teaching us. We need to go and gather. Rest comes to those who gather. We need to enter into our daily bread. Part of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus himself says that he is the bread of life. And so when we're talking about this passage, when we're thinking of bread, there's this echo all the way back here that asks us to rest in him, to seek him for provision every single day in every single way. It's because he sprinkles himself. If he's the bread and we are going to find him in our everyday, he sprinkles himself throughout our day. And that's why I say rest comes to those who gather him. Gather those moments where he sprinkles himself, and it might be fine like frost. It might be the moment between when you wake up and when you first look at your phone. It might be the moment when you first enter your car. It might be the while of time, your commute in that car while you're going to work. It might be 30 seconds in between when your kid asks you for something and the next time your kid asks you for something. Whatever that looks like, where is Jesus calling you to be in relationship with him? Where is he calling you to gather him in these little moments? He provides himself. He is the living bread. In the same way God gave the Israelites manna, he gave them these small, insignificant little things that when they gathered it, they had just enough. Not too much, not too little, just enough. So we have to gather. We have to gather, but we don't provide. Because we can rely on our own self to try and hoard what we have, to try and keep what we have. Oh, well, I met with Jesus yesterday. That'll be enough for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I met with Jesus on Sunday. I gathered him on Sunday. I went to worship. I went to hear Danny preach. I prayed a prayer on Sunday. And God is calling you to gather him every single day in those small, insignificant, flaky, frost-like moments where he asks you to come and be in a relationship with him, where he speaks to you, where you acknowledge him, and he provides what only he can provide. So you have to gather. There's this sentiment where you have to go and find those moments, make space for those moments, even acknowledge those moments, but you don't provide. You don't provide. Jesus provides. Second, rest comes to those who are in him. This is the institution of the Sabbath. Verse 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much as usual, 4 quarts for each person instead of 2. Then all the leaders of the community came and asked Moses for an explanation. And he told them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake and boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow. And so they go, they do what they've been told to do, what they know how to do. They go and they gather enough for today, but then when they go and gather, they find they have more. And I think it's really funny that God doesn't tell them that before, that they actually go and gather more, and then they go, why is this? Why is there more? Because he could have just spoken these things, but God is drawing them towards himself. Through this whole thing, God is saying, I'm your God that liberated you from Egypt, and I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to provide for you. You can look back to Egypt, you can look back to old ways that you've done things, and seek provision from there. But it is new and different when you follow God, when you follow Yahweh, when you follow Jesus. Things are different. And he brings them towards himself. He does this through just an experience. Again, it's these little moments. Why do I have more than usual? Have you ever done something and went, I don't really understand that, God? It's a moment to go deeper into his presence, to hear from him. And what's funny is we do the same things as the Israelites. So in verses 27, look at this. Some of the people went out anyway on the seventh day, but they found no food. And the Lord asked Moses, how long will these people refuse to obey my commands and instructions? We do the same things. We put our own will and our own efforts in providing for ourselves, even when God says otherwise. And I think, frankly, if we're honest with one another, that's what we do. Day in and day out, we go, we try and provide, we work as hard as we can because that's what culture celebrates. But the Bible doesn't celebrate just that. The Bible celebrates rest. Are we living in disobedience? Are we taking a day, whatever that looks like? My day is not Sunday. I get up here, I preach, I work, I do lyrics in the back, I do sound. My day is Saturday, a day that I dedicate to be free from task, the work that I'm called to do, and instead it's to God. Now, am I perfect in that? Absolutely not. Let me confess my sin literally up here. Yesterday, I went to the fair, and it was awesome, and I had fun with my family. But in the same way, I'm trying to find rest. I do the things that I know are supposed to bring me rest. And then I forget to include God in there. And it's not this act of disobedience. It's this, Gabby's crying, Jose and me are eating, and we pray before we eat, and we acknowledge him that he is good in other small ways. But like the Israelites, God calls us to not just know who he is, he calls us to be with him. We can know all these things and never actually live them out. And that is the difference in the Christian religion. He calls us to be close. He calls us into an experiential relationship with him because he's alive and not dead. And we commune with him and we learn from him. And so in the same way, I'm literally down on my knees at the front because I'm saying, God, I'm about to go up and teach about this and I didn't do it yesterday. And I think it's just a reminder that we're not called to be perfect. We're called to be obedient. And obedience looks a lot like humbling yourself and trying over and over again. So if you're there and you're listening to all this and you're going, I am being disobedient, I don't know, I'm right there with you. And I'm trying because the culture that we're in, the way that we're brought up, it teaches us different things. But part of being formed by Christ is walking with him day by day and letting him transform us. Verse 29, it's a gift. It is a literal gift. They must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That is why he gives you a 2-day supply on the 6th day, so there will be enough for 2 days. On the Sabbath day, you must stay in your place. Do not go out to pick up food on the 7th day. So I say the same thing to you. Have a Sabbath rest. It is a command, not a reward. We don't earn rest. We enter into it, and we enter into it by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus, our relationship with him. Look at these two verses. Psalm 62, verse 1, Matthew 6, 33 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. That's the Psalms. And then this is what it says in Matthew, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things in the context of this verse? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. All these things are the material things that we so desperately often want. Instead of going after money, instead of going after liberating our time, trying to earn enough money so that we can rest, trying to replace things that he has already given us in him, he says, forget about all that for a minute. First, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, meaning seek him. Not what he gives you, seek him, his kingdom. And all these things will be met. All these needs that we have. And often when we think about needs, we think about food, we think about water, we think about shelter and about clothing. But I would also say we have essential needs of identity, meaning we need to know who we are, meaning to know whose we belong to. Do we belong to the world? Do we belong to our husband or wife? Do we belong to the Lord? Do we belong to our work? Do we belong to our vocation? Whatever that looks like, who are we? We also have purpose, because we need to do something with our lives here. We're not content as humans to just go about a day-to-day existence, and those who do live just day-to-day and seem to have no purpose, I guarantee you they're searching for purpose anyways. They're just going about it wrong. We need something to do, and then we need community. We were not created to be alone. These are essential needs. And listen, church, he will provide every single need. So when we pray prayers like, give us this day our daily bread, and we look at it and we ask for the things that we need. Know that God hears you and he will provide you. But so much more does he want to provide you with himself. So much more does he want to pour out abundant identity and purpose and community, not only with him, but with our church. And in the small little moments where we get to meet with him, where we get to worship him, where we get to be told who we are by him, it creates this longing and this need, which grows and grows and grows, and day by day we then are transformed to look more like him. So, sitting here, what is your need? What is your need? What do you need provision for? And let's go past the, I need more money to pay off my house, or I'd really like to fill up, you know, pay off my mortgage, or I want to earn enough to just have financial freedom. Let's go past the basic needs. What do you really need to know? What do you really need to hear? What do you really need so that you can rest? Because we're working for a reason. And when we're in dysfunction, it's hard to see. So in this moment, Holy Spirit, would you help us actually reveal to us what we are putting in place of you? Where we are seeking provision? Are we trying to save other people? Because we all try and do that from time to time. Are we trying to prove that we're worthy of something? What are we trying to do? How are we trying to provide? Because we can't, and we will not. It will not work. God enables rest through provision. He meets every single need that we have. He will provide. And then in that provision, we can know that we're taken care of. We can rest within him. And let me also say this, church, before he's met the need, you can rest. While you're in that middle stage where you're waiting for the mortgage payment to come through and you don't have the means to make it work, but you can't find it, he will sustain you. He will give you rest. He provides so we don't have to, so that we can rest, so that we can enter into the Sabbath rest that he has prepared for us. Now, provision is going to change, and it's going to look different. In verse 35, right at the end, it says, so the people of Israel ate manna for 40 years. That's not a short time until they arrived at the land where they would settle. And they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And this land was the promised land. This land was what God was going to use to provide, and there was a bunch of things that he had to do in between. And they were stuck in this season where they had relied on manna for 40 years. They'd gone out and they'd gathered. They stored enough for the seventh day, and then all of a sudden, a different method of provision comes. And I think some of us are there as well, in this transition season where the way that you've been receiving provision, where the way that you've been receiving rest is now changing because you are entering into a new season. There's a new authority, there's a new anointing, there's a new mantle upon your life. And the way that he's once provided for you will end. But know that's not the end of his provision. It's going to change. It's going to look different. Are we more dependent on our method or on our master? Our source never changes. It never does. And we rely on the method over and over and over again. We need to rely on the master. Church, our rest is this essential part of our obedience. Obeying what he's called us to do. And our obedience should lead us to dependency. So God calls us to meet with him, gather with him, gather him in those small little moments, day by day, taking us deeper, transforming us, and then we remain in him. We go into our rest because he has already provided for us. We don't get bogged down in what people say. We don't get bogged down in our own needs. We get into his presence and we rely on the Master. And then slowly we realize, oh, I'm totally dependent. I can't depend on myself. I actually have a whole bunch of stories I want to share with you. We're almost done. Me and Jose, we've tried this a whole bunch of different ways, and apparently I'm stubborn at this lesson because I keep needing to learn it, and I can't rely on a paycheck to rest. I can't rely on my own skills to rest. And so what kept happening is God kept sending me different things. He called us to radically give away our money. We did. And I thought, God's going to provide. God's going to do something amazing. And then it just never really came. And I went, did I hear you wrong, God? Did I give all of this away just for nothing? What's going on? And then I would find these little moments of rest. But most of the time, I was just tired. And how many of you know that it's not just enough to make space in your schedules? Because that's so important. There's things that we can do inherently that the world teaches us that are right, that are correct. We put space inside our schedules. We do take time off. We make space for our family. We make space for God. And I had done all those things. I had. And so there was this moment where I was paddleboarding. And it was the first time I got to paddleboard. I just wanted to be in the lake. And I remember paddling out and being in the middle of the lake, and I just went, oh man, I finally feel like I'm resting. Like I finally feel good. And I went, paddleboarding's the answer. So I gotta buy a paddleboard. I gotta get on the lake more. That's the answer. And I tried to replicate that first time, but I couldn't get it. It wouldn't come back to me. And then there was this moment on Thursday prayer night, which if you haven't come out yet, I highly encourage you. 6:30 every single Thursday. Last Thursday, there was a huge chunk of our church up. And I love to see our church praying. But one of the things that we do is we do this meditation where we take a piece of scripture and we really just sit with God in it. And I remember the first time we did it, now we do it for 15 minutes, so it's not so daunting, but the first time we went for half an hour, and all I did was stare at the same sentence for half an hour, and I just cried. I just wept, bawled for the whole half an hour. And it was, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I just felt, oh, Father, you're so good to me. Oh, Father, you want a relationship with me. You're so much holier than me, but you tore the veil between you and me, and you bring me into this relationship. And I was just like, wow, this is incredible. And then the next time we did it, we shortened it to 15 minutes, and I went, we lost it. I lost it. I lost all of the rest that I had because I need this half an hour because I need these specific methods to rest. Are you sometimes stupid like I am? And God goes, come into my presence and be with me. That's it. When I was sitting on the paddleboard, when I was in nature enjoying his creation, when I finally silenced my brain enough to hear what he was doing in my life, I went, oh, I can rest. And here was the click for me. One day, God, in all of his wisdom, just downloaded everything all at once to me. And he did. He literally downloaded it all at once to me. Where I hear God really, really deeply is in the shower. It's just where it is. Me and him speaking together. And he says this, I bring you into these moments so I can teach you things in those little moments where he teaches me about whatever. He reveals things to me. But it's not just a one and done. It's those everyday small moments where I've fallen into sin and I sit with him and I hold up my sin. Sometimes we don't even say anything to each other. and I say, here's my sin. And then he lavishes love upon me. Sometimes I'm so broken. Sometimes I get up here and preach a sermon to you and I go, what was I even talking about? I said, like 50,000 times. They didn't hear it. I don't know what's going on. And God says, rest. It's okay. It's okay. And he teaches me over and over again that rest comes from him. We say, man, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. What are we doing? Doing what? What are we so busy doing? In the end, when we get to heaven, when we come back to earth, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, what are we doing? What were we created to do? This is from men much smarter than me and has been around much longer than me. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief, that means the most, above everything else. So yes, work. We were created to work. Yes, don't miss that. But above everything, I'm called as a pastor to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That means you working, me working, I'm helping you, us doing ministry together and individually. But before that, we glorify him and we enjoy him forever. Those tiny, quiet moments where we realize who our provider is, when we realize truly who he is, and then we enjoy him. I think eternity, our whole lives, our time with him, doesn't happen in like a blink of an eye. I don't think that's how time works. I think it's the same here and now as it is forever. Eternity passes moment by moment. So what are you doing in your moments? Every single moment of every single day, God is within you, God is around you, and God is for you, and he's calling you into a relationship for eternity. Moment by moment. Rest is trusting God with your time. Trust him. It's not laziness to rest. It's an expression of faith. So today we're going to do just that. It's silent. You can hear trucks going by. Because this is just a moment. The rest of our lives, the rest of eternity. So I'm going to challenge you to do something different maybe than normal. Something that I know will form you. We're going to sing a song and we're going to worship him. But I want you to rest. I want you to enter into the rest that has been prepared for you. And for a lot of you, I think this is going to be a moment that sparks another moment and another moment and another moment. And you will be transformed because of it. So I want you to posture yourself. Because our body oftentimes needs to go first before our spirit can. So if you need to close your eyes, I think almost every time I hear God better with my eyes closed. I see him better when I close my eyes. Then close your eyes. Maybe you go, like me, I just need to kneel in your presence. It says that every knee will bow. So maybe you need to kneel. Maybe you need to lie down because you've been carrying so much. Maybe you just need to literally lie down. I would love it if I just saw someone lying on the ground. However that looks. Feel free in this moment to meet with God. And then we're done. And the moment is gone. And there will always be another moment until there isn't another moment. But in this moment, God is calling you to see him truly, to meet with him, and then to hear from him. I actually think that some of you are going to hear him for the very first time because you're finally quieting yourself. So I'm going to get off the stage, and together, you, me, our family, we're going to rest just for a moment. Just for a moment. Thank you. So Jesus, thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for teaching us what it means when you say into my Sabbath rest that I've prepared for you. Thank you that for many of us today, it was the first time that we really, truly experienced you. Thank you for that fact alone, that we get to be in a relationship with you. That the God that we read about in the Old Testament, the God that we read about in the New Testament, is the same God that dwells within us now. Thank you that we don't earn our way to salvation, that we don't have to do good works to get into heaven. But instead, you do all the work so that we can rest and then work out of that, out of our rest, out of that relationship. I ask on behalf of my family that you would meet with them in the small moments when they wake up, in the small moments in between tasks, in the small moments when they feel discouraged, and in the big moments where they're crying out to you. In every single moment, God, I pray that you would teach them how to rest while they're working. That with you is the only place we need to be. That it doesn't matter whether we're fishing or quilting or weeding a garden or mowing the lawn, we can rest in you. You are where our rest comes from. Continue to teach us, continue to teach me. Bring us into more of these moments. Then would you let that overflow into something greater? That our work would be filled with purpose, that our work would include the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we go and build your kingdom, it's not just of talk, that there's great power and authority that lie behind these things. So again, I come back to you, Jesus, and I say thank you, thank you, thank you for doing what only you can do in our lives, in my life, in our church. We trust in you totally, and we rest in you completely today. Yeah, we love you, praise you, in Jesus' mighty name, and all those who agreed said, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us today. We're going to keep this space for prayer. If you have something that you need to partner with me or maybe someone else, we're going to be right up here. We want to speak with you.